How's everybody doing? Man, that's a tough show to follow, I'll tell you what. Today I want to discuss with you some of the elements that I believe in traditional financial thinking are actually missing in the process that we follow in our practices. You see, the vast majority of people are troubled and confused about the economy. They've been bombarded by the media, bullied by salespeople, and bewildered by the millions of things they feel they need to know. Over the past several years, they've seen all the lessons they learned in the 80s and the 90s and even today fail them. And they know they can't live much longer on 2 and 3 and 4% rates of return, yet they're scared and hesitant to make the crucial decisions necessary to survive in today's financial jungle. And to make things worse, 95 million Americans are in the same boat. Wealth and Wisdom Institute is a growing group of professionals from across the country who are deeply concerned about the direction we're heading and the impact it will have on everybody's financial future. And today, I would like to discuss with you some of the challenges that we're facing and some of the missing realities behind traditional thinking that aren't panning out for the average American. First of all, I want you to think about two numbers, perhaps even write them down. 55,280. 55,280. It's a very important number. Underneath that number, I want you to write 50,150. Those two numbers are very important because this is where Americans are living. 4 years ago, the average median income in the United States for the average person was $55,000. 4 years later, it is $50,150. The challenges that the average American is facing is enormous. Because as everything continues to go up in price, the actual incomes in the United States have gone down. Now, I don't want to be a downer on this conversation, but I think you need to understand the challenges that you're facing. Because the reality is, we're in a predicament here of our government, and not only that, of our industry, continuing to feed the problem, or are we really solving the problem for the average American? With that, I'd like to just talk to you a little bit about what's going on. There are five elements when you introduce yourself to a client. There are five things that client, in their decision-making process, in their everyday life, are helping them make their decisions. These five things right here are risk, taxes, penalties, inflation, and the value of the dollar. Those five elements right there will determine how much they can put away for retirement, whether they can even take a vacation, whether they can put their kids in private school, whether they can remodel the house, right down to their everyday decisions. And our industry is very, very good at this because we're taught to have conversations with clients. But as the previous speakers have talked to you in the last day and a half, communication is everything. But this is where the average American is living. This is the determining factor in the decision when you start to talk to them. The problem is our industry has come along and we are taught to have conversations of avoidance, not conversations of acceptance. The communication is the most important thing in our lives. What is it you can do or say that will make that client walk out in the backyard, lean across the fence, and tell their neighbors all about you? Is it the rate of return on your 401k? Is it the cost of your term insurance? No, it's how you're going to impact their lives immediately. Our industry, once again, has trained us to look out 20 and 30, 40 years. We have great software that will do illustrations, or as we call them, illusions. Illustrations reaching out into the 20 and 34 years for their lives. The average American, though, is looking for answers in the next 20 to 30, 40 days. These are the problems that they're facing right here. The risk they feel they need to take, the taxes they feel they must pay, the penalties or the government regulations surrounding everything they do, inflation and the value of the dollar. Inflation and the value of the dollar are two separate things. The inflation factor is very low according to the government, but as we're going to discuss later on, it's not really the truth. So the financial services comes along, and I've been a proud member of this for 32 years. I've been very good at what we do, and I'm very happy with what I'm doing, but I want to challenge you today. I want you to think beyond traditional financial thinking, because I believe it has a flaw. Traditional financial thinking comes along for the average American, and in order to solve the risk, the taxes, the penalties, inflation, and the value of the dollar, we come out and we say, well, all you need is a balanced portfolio, perhaps some retirement programs, maybe some investments. You might need a CD, who knows? And we want to discuss your mortgages. The problem is, do these really answer the five problems that the average American is facing of risk, taxes, penalties, inflation, and the value of the dollar? Let's take one example. Does an IRA solve the problem of risk, taxes, penalties, inflation, or the value of the dollar? Or did I just describe what it was? Does a mutual fund do that? Does a stock do that? You see the problem we're having here? Number one, they're facing a declining lifestyle in their lives, and they don't understand why this is happening to them. And then we come along and said, this is all you need. Well, the reality is, I had to look at what I did in the business for a long, long time. And I had to step back and question what I was doing. Because the solutions that we give to them in the form of products and ideas in trying to solve these problems, in the design of that product itself, there is no surety of success. None. As good as that product may be, the determining factor whether that product is going to be successful in the future are the economic trends and shifts of the time that surround the product. We can go back in the history of our own industry. And in the 80s, interest rates were extremely high, weren't they? Everybody remember Jimmy Carter? Interest rates were 16-18%, and our industry came out with universal life. And on a term chassis that allowed the customer or the client to invest in interest rates. And interest rates were really good for 10 years. And then the market took off. The tech boom hit, and the stock market started climbing like crazy, and our industry came along and said, we should let our clients involve themselves in the investment end of their financial lives inside our products. Does that mean that universal life from the 80s was a bad product, or did the economic trends and shifts change? 10 years later, the second plane hits the second tower, the housing boom crashes, and the stock market drops 40%, and variable universal life, it's a kind way to say it took a dip. And everybody fled from it. Did that mean the product was designed poorly, or did the economic trends and shifts change? You see, we continued to study the product. Knowledge is something that you learn. Wisdom is the ability to apply that knowledge to your everyday life. Without having the proper information, how can we guide our clients into the future? You have an enormous task in front of you. You may be the last refuge of safeguarding your client's financial future. That's an enormous responsibility. And you must take it seriously. But we have to look at it a little bit differently, because things have changed so dramatically in the last 10 years that the products are not keeping pace with the answers that are being looked for. What in the last 10 years has the financial services industry done for the average American to improve their lives? Well, it seems like we simply reload every 10 years and start something new based on the same chassis. The financial services industry and the product we produce in front of that client does not solve the problems of risk, taxes, inflation, the value of the dollar, or penalties. What is going to determine the success of all our financial planning today are the actions of the government. Now, I don't want to scare you to death here, but you have the luxury of not knowing what I know. I sat on the board at Wayne State University, School of Business, School of Finance, for 5 years. And in that term, I wrote a paper on the social aspects of government programs and the impact in our society. I started studying government websites, and I was one of the 15 people in the country to read the health care bill. We posted it on our website that I had read it, and we got calls from advisors of congressmen and senators asking us what was in it a month after they had voted on it. The demographics in our country are going to change everything that we know. In a very short period of time, the boomer generation will take control of the economy. And there'll be a major force in how our taxation and how things are about to happen in our world. The U.S. Census Bureau says, you know what, the average person, the average female reaching the age of 65 is going to live another 19.9 years. The average male reaching the age of 65 is going to live 17.7 years. But they did, for the males, there is some good news here for the men in the audience here, if you're married. Because married men live much longer. Did you know that? It's a much slower death. Does everybody understand that taxation is an issue in your future? Does everybody understand that clearly? I read a great article when it came to the health care and the demographics that it was in the newspaper just 2 days ago in USA Today. They said Obamacare can cost as little as $100 a month if you make $17,000 a year. That's 140% of the poverty level at $17,000, and the cost would be $100 a month. Let's ask that person if they're willing to give up another 7.5% of their income and change their lifestyle. Taxation is an issue that we all face. Unemployment. The government has started to play funny with the numbers on unemployment and the CPI factors. We have to understand how they're measuring it now because they keep changing it. Government regulations, government debt, government spending is all, you don't have to go far to see it in the newspapers. These are the things that are going to determine the success of the product, because these things are the things that are going to determine the risk that you need to take, the taxes you must pay, the penalties you must observe, the inflation of your money, and the depreciation of the value of the dollar. Right here, we're not paying any attention to this, and this is going to change the outlook of every plan that you have ever done in your entire life. This is going to impact every result of every product that you sell, and our industry is not looking at it. We're studying the product and not the knowledge and wisdom behind that product and how it can help the client solve the problems that they're facing. I'm going to give you one example. This might be a little hard for you to read in the back. This comes from usfederalgovernmentspending.com. This is an analysis of how the federal government gets its money from us. The top line is very interesting. Once again, this is off of their own sites. The income tax in fiscal year 2011, the government took in, just from income taxes, $1.15 trillion. Their five-year projection from 2011 to 2016 goes from $1.15 trillion to $2.25 trillion in 5 years, a 100% increase in their income tax revenue. Mr. and Mrs. Client, do you still believe it's a good idea to defer taxes to a later date, having this information? We need to start to think differently. I'll look at a client and I said, understanding the goals of the government should not be the goals that you have. I think we should avoid taxation in every way we can. This report went on to say at the bottom line, they listed the gross public debt. That's the right words for it. It's gross, it's public, and it's debt. And in fiscal year 2011, it was at $15 trillion. Their projection going out 5 years goes to almost $21 trillion. At the same time, they've increased their revenue by 100%. Now, what you must understand from the GAO and the CBO, I got in my career, I sell life insurance. I got to speak in front of the Federal Reserve of Chicago. I met David Walker a couple of times. I've met Alan Greenspan. The conversations are the same. That the American public must get used to what is about to happen. They offer no solutions. Right here is the scariest thing, and then I apply it to traditional financial thinking and say, should we still be deferring taxes to a later date? It's a great question to measure what you're doing with a client. What you almost must understand is that the economic planning in this situation is more important than studying the product. The product has specific situations that it deals with in a client's life. But without understanding the challenges that are coming, how can we make any recommendations to a client? How can we tell them what to do if nobody in this room showed them that screen? Have we prepared the client for what is about to happen, or are we selling the product? You see, I'm challenging you to become the greatest advisor for your client that you could be. The Institute does all the study work and discusses these issues openly. And I think what we need to do is try to plug some of that information into your practice so that you can help your clients also. At the Institute, we believe something very simple. We want to teach our clients how to think, not what to think. I sat on the board at Wayne State University, School of Business, School of Finance, for 5 years, and the education there was great. It was fantastic. But the problem was, we were teaching these kids to go out and have a job, but they couldn't take the information they had from the university and apply it to their everyday life. And if something you taught to be true now in today's financial world wasn't true, when would you want to know about it? See, there's two defining moments that you must understand. And we have five books on the publisher's bestsellers list right now. That was a miracle in itself because we do no advertising. The financial services industry uses the books to educate their clients. We formed the Institute 10 years ago. This is our 10th anniversary. The first defining moment of 10 is your money will never be worth more than it is today due to inflation. $1,000 today at 3% inflation will have the buying power of $411 in 30 years. So let's ask a question. If I have a 30-year mortgage and my house payment is $1,000, would I rather make more payments today when the buying value of my money is $1,000, or would I want to make more payments at the end of that mortgage when the buying power of my dollar is $411? Why, I'd rather do it at $411. Why is the banks telling you do the opposite? Because they understand rule number one, money will never be worth more than it is today, and it's better off in their hands than yours. The second defining moment is this. The current tax bracket you're in right now, due to government spending, a declining workforce, an aging population, and a population that's working that has an inability to save, the income tax bracket you're in right now may be the lowest one you'll be in for the rest of your life. Now let's take those two defining moments and throw them together. Your money will never be worth more than it is today, and this may be the lowest tax bracket you'll be in for the rest of your life. Why is traditional thinking telling you to take as many of today's dollars as you can, throw it as far into the future as you can, where it will have less buying power and be taxed the most? And how long do you want to keep doing that? You see, what's missing there is the word leverage. There's nothing we're doing in our financial world that creates leverage for ourselves. Leverage simply means to use the least amount of money to create the most amount of benefit or wealth in your life. Does a 401k create leverage? Are we stuck in a pattern that there is no leverage at all? You see, the average American has choices in their lives. Today, their choices are limited. While I was standing in Chase Bank last week, ready to make a deposit, and out came a young fellow and put a poster, a banner in the corner. It said, Chase, 13-month CD, 0.25%. 0.25%. This is how the elderly people in our country are trying to maintain their lifestyle at 0.25%. Why I started thinking about that for a second, standing in that line, saying, you know what, if I gave these people $100, 13 months later, they're going to give me 25 cents. And it's taxable. I started thinking deeper. I said, you know what? I could go down to the state park, pick up a Pepsi can, take it to the recycling center once a month, and triple what the bank's going to give me. Tax-free. So I got picking up cans in my portfolio now. Another choice you may have that the average American has is they can invest in the stock market, right? And it's been hot, hasn't it? Well, just a couple days ago, it went up 1%. It was great. What? The funny thing is, look underneath the headlines. It went up 1%. Why? Because the Fed said they're going to continue to support the false level of security in the market by adding $85 billion a month to it. $1 trillion a year. The economy is so bad, we can't stop doing that. Oh, but wait, the stock market's going up. Well, let me tell you something. This is a hot tip of the day right here. The stock market must go up in volume. It must. 4 years ago, we had $829 billion in M1 money in circulation funding the stock market. $829 billion on a daily basis would flow through the marketplace. 4 years later, there isn't $829 billion floating through M1 money for investments. There's $1.5 trillion. The stock market, the Dow should be at 22,000. But it's not. Because there's no value there. It's a number. It's a place to put your money. It's better than Chase Bank. It's had a great year, hasn't it? About 13% this year. That's cool. But it's taxable. There's a unique story I tell people all the time. I work very hard, and they pay me in these monetary units. Okay? An entity creates this monetary unit, and I get paid in this monetary unit. And here's the thing that you need to think about. Stop 1 second and think about this. The longer I hold this monetary unit, the less value it has. Wow. Think about what we're doing in planning. The longer I hold this, the less value it has. This is what your average American is facing. Not only do I earn this dollar, but the entities that created this, when I earn it, take a portion of this called income taxes. So I have less monetary unit left to buy the goods to support my family. And then when I go to buy the goods with what I have left in my monetary unit, the things I purchase and the services I purchase are also taxed by the entity. And I lose more value of my monetary unit. And the longer I hold it, the less value it has. And then I figured out that the corporations, the entity, is going to tax them to provide the services and good I want so I can purchase them for my family. And they tax the corporations that make the products. And the corporations are smart. They simply add their tax to the price of their goods. And the longer I hold this, the less value it has. You see, from the very beginning, even before we meet that client, they are in the hole. And they want to know why. I'm going to come along and explain to them why this is happening in their lives. The first two defining moments is a conversation that everybody should have with their clients. The CBO and the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, when I met Alan Greenspan and David Walker, there were three things that they stressed the most. And they just came out with another report 2 days ago saying that the unsustainable debt in our country is going to bury us from a taxation standpoint. What you must understand is 316 million people living in the United States today. There's 114 million taxpayers. The unfunded liability in 20 years will be $121 trillion. And that makes the equal share of every taxpayer, the 114 million people that do pay taxes, their share due to the federal government is $1.1 million in taxes to pay the debt. And the funny thing is, it keeps going up. Should we defer taxes to a later date? Big question. The two defining moments are great measuring sticks for the conversation to start. Now I want to challenge traditional financial thinking. And I have a question for you. We should play the music from the... Rates of return mean nothing to me. Oh, it might be a measurement of how a company is doing, but rates of return are a marketing ploy by some companies in our industries. If I had $1,000 today and it averaged 20%, it's in the prospectus, it says it averaged 20% for the last 2 years. Mad Kramer was on TV last night, said this company, XYZ company, this company averaged 20% for the last 2 years. It was in the Wall Street Journal. It must be true. If I put $1,000 into it and it averaged 20% for the next 2 years, how much would I have? Simple compound interest, 1440, 1280, 800, or nothing. Well, the right mathematical answer is 1440. I got 20% the first year, 20% the second year. It averaged 20%. Is the prospectus correct? Yes. Now, let me tell you something. Math is a science. 2 + 2 = 4. There's only one answer. Unless you go to Detroit public school system, there's many answers for it. Let me tell you something really quick about Detroit, because it's made the headlines. The tragedy that happened in Detroit just didn't happen. It's happened for the last several years, the last decade. 24% of the children going into high school finish. I live in the second richest county in Michigan, and every year we get a present. This is one county. This is the tax foreclosures for where I live. And this would be bad enough that it's 13 pages of name after name after name, no advertising, name after name after name. That would be bad enough. But it's 13 sections of 22 pages of name after name after name after name. This is the future in our society. We are looking at the third generation of dependency in Detroit. And you are seeing the results of an experiment gone bad. Well, let's get back to math. There's only one answer, right? So we're done. Well, no, 1280 is also right. This investment did 60% the first year at average, and it lost 20% the second year. Is the prospectus still correct? Everybody go like this. But does person B have less money? That is correct. Now C is a personal story of my own. Now, I don't want you to think any less of me, because I went down to Florida and bought some property in Naples at what they call a gated community at the top of a bubble. It was a nice place. And I bought this place, and we went down there, and I'm sitting at the pool. The first year, it doubled in value. It doubled in value. I'm sitting at the pool with a little funny drink thinking, man, I'm a genius. And then these things, hurricanes, came through, like two of them. And the roof was over on the eighth hole of the golf course. The furniture was in the pool, and we never did find the car. But in the meantime, the taxes on that property had almost tripled. Now the insurance companies in Florida got smart and pulled out, and the state took over the insurances, and the insurance tripled, and pretty soon my mortgage, my taxes and my insurance were higher than the mortgage. And I needed to get out of that quick. It went up 100% the first year. When I sold it the second year, it went down 60%. It still averaged 20%. That gated community still has a prospectus that says we average 20% a year. So if that's right, let's talk about zero. Math is a science. Does anybody remember all the property flipping that went on in Las Vegas about 8 years ago? I mean, you had to wait in line to get it, you know, and you would buy it, and you'd hold it for like 2 months and sell it to the next sucker, the seller, buyer, whatever it was, in line, and you'd make money like crazy. Well, the first year, that went up 140%. Then the media caught on that it was a scam. They didn't even have bricks or lumber or mortar or anything. They were just velocity of property. And in the second year, Everybody found out about it, and everybody that was still involved in it lost 100%. When you lose 100%, how much did you lose? Everything. But it still averaged 20%. You see, rates of return can be misleading and misunderstood. And we have to have a discussion with a client and saying, listen, when I introduce myself to a client, I say, I like to deal in certainties. I really like dealing in certainties because it makes my life better and makes your life better. But I'm sure if you wanted to take some risk, there are 50 other planners around my office that will willingly put you at risk in your future. So you have a decision to make, whether you want to deal in certainties or take all that risk. And I'll let them answer the question. Well, let's take a look at, this was funny because I did this just for the heck of it. I said, let's take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Averages since 1929. And I put the year-end average at the end of each year since 1929 all the way through 2012. And if I put $1,000 in there and we use the year-end average of the Dow, I would end up with $197,465. Pretty good, huh? Now, this is not dividends. This is just the rate of return, okay? But, and as I say, there's a lot of buts in this room, but if I was actually in the market every day since 1929 and I didn't use just the year-end result, I don't have $197,000. I come up about $154,000 short. Whew. How are we being marketed? Len, that can't be true. It cannot be true. Well, let's do a simple test. You got $100 today and you lose 20%. How much you got left? 80 bucks. Give him a prize. If it goes up 20% the next day, how much you got? 96. The average of the 2 days was zero, but you're down 4%. It goes down 10% the next day, up 10% the following day. Now you're at 93.40, but the average of the average for 4 days is zero. And so on, and so on, and so on. The reality is, this is where your client lives. Each one of these slides that I'm showing to you is in our software. Each one of these slides is designed for you to have a conversation with your client, and you, as a practitioner, you only want to hear 5 words from your client when you're having a discussion. Those 5 magic words are this: what should I be doing? When you show them that tax page from the federal government and how they're going to increase their tax revenues, and you ask them that important question, do you still think you should be deferring taxes to a later date? They're either thinking it, and if they don't say it out loud, they're thinking, what should I be doing? And now you're in control. But the interesting question when I talked to a client and said, if you had a dollar today, what is the rate of return you need just in 365 days to have the same buying power 1 year later? That's a good question, because this is where we live. This is what's happening. Well, that dollar might have to go through some form of capital gains taxation, right, if we invest it. And if you're lucky enough to be poor, it's still 15%. Because they got a new surcharge to go up to 23.8% on capital gains. Think about that a second. If I earned $100 in the marketplace and I'm at a 23.8% capital gains rate, I've only got like $72 left, right? The reality is, though, you didn't lose 23.8%. You need 32% more money to get to 100. You didn't lose 23.8%. You lost the advantage of 32% to get to your $100. Did I just lose you on that one? Because that spread between the taxation and what it would have cost you to actually reach your goal is where America is getting lost. So it has to go through some form of inflation, right? But during that 1 year period, it might have to go through some form of inflation also. Did I say inflation? Taxation and inflation. Now, the government is not telling us the truth. Well, they're telling us the truth, but they keep changing the rules. 10 years ago, there was 11 sectors of the economy that measured the CPI factor and what inflation really was. Now, there's only 7. The new idea is to reduce it to 3. And the reason for that is simply because they have to pay cost increases in all their government benefit programs. And it will save them hundreds of billions of dollars at your expense simply by changing the equation inside of there. Well, let's take a look at inflation, because the government's saying it's 1.5%, but I'm going to prove it to you that it's not. The government leads out some important things in the CPI factor that you're probably not involved in. They think you're not even involved in any of this stuff. Some of the things they leave out that they think you're not involved in are stupid things like owning a home. They don't measure that in the inflation factor. Not at all. I don't know about you. I got a nice house. There's a big hole in the backyard where I just shovel money. But there's no inflation. What else don't they count in the inflation factor? Well, you're probably not involved in any of this also. Food. They measure farming, but they don't measure the cost of food. What else don't they count, Lynn? Energy. You don't use any of that. You're all walking around with candles and stuff. What else don't they count? Taxes. I just explained four areas where 80% of my money goes, and it's not considered inflationary. And they're proud saying, well, we've held inflation down to under 1.5%. Is that the truth? They got so embarrassed that the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, came out with a fact finder about 4 years ago and said, you know what? The elements that we're not including is really depreciation of the buying power of the dollar. And they came out with a factor just 3 or 4 years ago that not only do you have inflation, but you have depreciation of the dollar. And they listed that at 6%. That's a lot. So in order for my dollar to have the same buying power 1 year later, Mr. and Mrs. Client, I need a 12.8% rate of return on my dollar just to break even. Let's see. I can get 12.8% from Chase? It would take 25 years at 0.25% to get there for 1 year. This is where the average American is living. And the choices they have been given are limited. You can invest in the stock market. You can invest in real estate. You can invest in bank savings programs. A great question to ask your clients, and I follow up with this question to every client, is this. If given a choice, Mr. and Mrs. Client, where would you want to start your planning? Would you want to put your money in something that was 100% taxable, income tax or capital gains taxable, or tax-free? Now, I'm going to give you a hint here. If they say anything else but tax-free, pack up your stuff and leave. You see, the reason we have problems in this industry is because we don't have a criteria of a client. I have 7 criteria of a client that I know my success ratio is so high that I market to that person. Our industry says you should buy leads, and these people make $100,000, and this is really wonderful, isn't it? You got all this, and you're the 10th person to buy it, and everybody's. You need a criteria of a client, because how can you market to your success? How can you market to the success of the client if you don't know your sweet spot and your swing? Anyways, back to this thing right here. Well, my client will say tax-free, and I simply look at them. Why is 98% of all the planners in the United States pointing you in a direction where you don't want to go? That's a good question. You see, the rich understand tax-free very, very clearly. They know they can't drive forward the stock market. They know putting more money in their house does not make the value of the house go up. Paying off their car as fast as they can does not make the car more valuable. They know that putting more money into their 401k doesn't make the rates of return higher. There is no leverage. What is it in your client's life that they can drive forward the value of? The rich have understood this for 100 years. They know the family is the most important financial tool that they have. And the inheritance that they receive can be driven forward by using life insurance as a tool of choice. Do you know what the average inheritance is? According to the federal government today, when the second parent dies, $47,000. I'll look at a client and simply say this. If you would like to have a discussion on how to add a zero to that without you spending one more dime than you're currently spending, is that what you'd like to talk about today? Or do you simply want to try to rebalance your portfolio to make it look good again? Because the challenges you're facing in the first two columns are risk, taxes, penalties, inflation, and the value of the dollar. Look at the answers. So let's take the last few minutes we got here and talk about creating the most perfect investment that we can. Now, some of you saw this yesterday, but I think this is the most important 3 minutes that you can spend with your clients. If we had the opportunity to create the most the most perfect investment today, what would it look like? Can I borrow you today? How's this? I'll ask you the questions. There are 12 questions in this litmus test. If we're inventing the most perfect product for you today, let me ask you these questions. Number one, would there be a lot of risk involved? Good answer. He said no. Would you want a lot of guarantees on that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, since you didn't trust yourself, would you load it up with a bunch of penalties?
No.
Next three questions. Would you want to be able to get to your money when you needed it? How about this? Would you want to protect it from all the unemployed lawyers in the world?
Yes.
How about this? Would you want to create the most amount of wealth using the least amount of money?
Yes.
Next set of questions. You want your money to grow tax deferred?
Yes.
It's a trick question now, isn't it? Would you want your money to be free upon distribution?
Yes.
And would you want to be able to use that investment as collateral the next day once you got it? Last three questions. Would you want the payments to be tax deductible? How about this one? If you became injured or ill, or as we say in Detroit, you got shot, would you want somebody else to make the deposits on your behalf? And if you died from that accident, that injury, or that gunshot wound, would you want the money to transfer to your family tax-free? You have just completed the litmus test. This is important because for the first time in your client's life, they're going to realize how money is working in their life. Now let's compare your answers with what's currently going on in your life right now. This is the matrix. The first column is a typical IRA, not a Roth, a typical IRA or a 401k. By the way, all the red areas were things he didn't want. The green areas were the things involved in his most perfect investment. There's what you wanted. Why is what you want so different than what you're doing? And if I can get you 95% of you what you want today, is that the discussion you'd like to have, or do you simply want to rebalance your portfolio again and try to find one more green square in there? The conversation is going to lead to, what should I be doing? What is that stuff, Len? I want a bunch of it. Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about it a little bit. Because the rich have known this for hundreds of years. And the rich know how to do the perfect investment. And they do it first. And then that gives them the permission slip to take all the risk that they have in their lives. It gives them the permission slip. Because they've assured and insured the future for not only them, but for their family. You see, the answer's right in front of us. Why is it that we can't provide what the clients want? It's because we're having the wrong conversation to find the solution for them. This 3-minute conversation is so important. I have a card before and after of the matrix. As you're a member of the Institute, you know this. That's all I carry with me. These are their answers. And for the first time, they realize how money is working in their lives and how it's going to impact them in the future. There's plenty of taxes. This does not include the new 26 taxes that are coming with health care on January 1. But we just suffered one of the largest tax increases on January 1 of this year, called FICA. It went up from 4% to 6%. They sold it as 2%, but that was a 50% increase. And not only are our incomes falling, but the taxation element, the regulation element, is changing the field immensely. Did you know in the last 4.5 months, 5,580 new regulations have passed through the government and no one has read them? We don't even know the impact of them. Let me give you some more news, because I will tell you this. Inside those 5,580 regulations is the taxation issue on life insurance. Cash values are now in play again. Here's the good news. The death benefit isn't. At my breakout session at 1 o'clock, I'm going to show you the follow-up solution to the matrix. And the answer is sitting right in front of you, and we don't see it. We have the most perfect tool to solve the problem for our clients, and we're not using it. You see, I believe that the government has created a generational problem, not only for me, but for you. Not only do I have to pay for what's going on in their lives, but so do my kids and my grandchildren. And I believe it's time to have a generational solution ready for them and discuss it with them, because it will change all of the planning that you've ever done for them in their lives. You have an important task. You have been given a gift. My gift has been simple the last 10 years, is to go out and talk to representatives to help them discover the gift that's inside you already. We just don't know how to explain it to our clients. You see, in the conversations with all the clients we have, we want them to understand the demographic impact and how it's going to change your life. We need to talk about leverage, because leverage is the most important thing. And when I design the result of the most perfect product, it is loaded with leverage. It uses the least amount of money to create the most amount of wealth. We have to understand controlling the asset and debt as a financial tool. Not all debt is bad debt. Bad debt is my wife taking the credit card to the casino. That's bad debt. Lost opportunity cost and liquidity use control. These are the lessons that we need to teach your client through the Institute. We have it all written up for you. You don't have to memorize anything. And what they can expect from this type of information, non-product information, information that will change your lives and help them guide themselves and you to the right solutions in their lives. This is what they can expect. Number one, in the very first meeting, we're going to increase their money supply automatically through the transfers of wealth. Number two, we're going to create more better benefits in their lives. Number three, we're going to reduce the element of risk that they're facing in the marketplace and future taxes. And if we can do all three of these without them spending one more dime than they're currently spending, is that the discussion you want to have, Mr. and Mrs. Klein, or do you simply want to rebalance your portfolio again? I want to thank Grant Taggart Symposium, the chair people, John, all the great people that I met here. You know, we have an enormous task in our careers, and I believe we can take it one step further. My discussion today was simply to try to say to you that there's a missing piece there, and if we explain to them what is going on in their lives, they will understand the solution much clearer and want it. My breakout session at 1 o'clock, I will show you how people will want to give you as much money as they can towards that solution without any resistance. Once again, thank you very much. Thank you, John. Thank you, Grant Taggart.